may not know, if you know, you may not know, I'm not too sure, Sydney Comedy Festival is making a return this year after what has been a pretty crazy 2020. Set to be one pretty awesome lineup this year, Sydney is bringing to the stage a combination of emerging and established comedians from across Australia and internationally, which is going to be awesome. And we are lucky enough to have one such comedian joining us today. Michael Schaefer probably had 2020 worse than most, with a second cancer relapse, which forced him to undergo chemotherapy right in the midst of Melbourne's second lockdown. Schaefer confronts the personal perils of the year that's just gone, as well as other global calamities in his new show, 110%, which is set to hit the stage on the 29th of April. Michael, I've got him with me right now. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for having me on. No, I'm doing well. I've finished my treatment. I'm in remission, which is really, really good.
Perfect.
So, yeah, please don't stress. I don't want people to come into my show being like, oh, my God, is this his Make-A-Wish?
No, worries. Oh, my God.
That's great. Don't stress. Things are all really
awesome.
Good.
Thank you. I was going to ask, if you didn't mind me bringing it up, that, you know, going through chemotherapy treatment in the peak of COVID, how was that experience for you? That would have been so insane.
Yeah, like, it was pretty hard. But, like, honestly, one of the benefits was that, like, there was nothing else to do during that time. So, like, I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, I was asking my friends, like, what are you up to? And they're like, oh, I'm writing, like, a TV script. What are you up to? And I'm like, oh, I'm just beating cancer. So, you know, we're all keeping busy, you know, which I thought was good.
I've got to say, I think you were the most productive person during isolation. That's great. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay productive. You know, a friend of mine said to me, you know, I had a pretty rough year too because I had to homeschool the kids. And I was like, I reckon that's not the same as getting cancer. You know, I reckon homeschooling is much worse, to be honest.
Oh, really?
I mean, well, it's true because, like, when you get cancer, you're like, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to live through this.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to teach Jaden algebra, you're like, honestly, kill me now.
End of
the buffering. I don't want to deal with this.
Oh.
So it's a very different attitude going through homeschooling, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I had to teach my little brother, who was nine at the time. Oh, he's nine
still.
Oh,
no.
God,
so
that
was... You had a harder time than I did.
I'm not going to say that I did because I've not been through the experience that you've been through, but I've got to say, for me and my lived experience, it was a challenge.
Well, you've got all my sympathy, and I look forward to your Comedy Festival show about that traumatic event in your life.
Thank you. So, you know, they say that laughter is the best medicine. So can you tell us how your new show kind of reflects your journey going through that chemo treatment and such a tumultuous year?
Yeah, look, they say laughter is the best medicine. Personally, I found the chemo to be more effective. But I definitely feel like laughter is good. I think it's good to have a positive attitude about things. Always look on the bright side. Like, I lost a testicle. You know, they got removed a testicle. And, you know, that sounds sad, but now I finally feel comfortable in my skinny jeans. So, you know, you got to take the good and the bad with everything. And I feel like, you know, looking on the bright side of things was always helpful.
Awesome. I think... I've heard that is a problem. The zipping is kind of hard, so I don't know.
It's really tough. There's not a lot of space, but now I've got all this extra space, which is great.
Awesome.
I want to lose the other testicles so I can wear jeggings. That's kind of a
jeggings?
Plan at this point. They
oh, my
comfy.
Gosh.
They look comfy, but I can't pull them off with the testicles, so I'm going to have to remove the other one, I reckon.
You know what? I think the testicle could make it better.
You think it would make it better?
I reckon.
I think it would be too confronting for people.
But I don't know. I work in a gym during the day, and some of the things that I see, I don't think you'd be out of place. Don't worry.
Yeah, right. So it doesn't seem like it's very PG in that gym.
Not for 5:30 in the morning. I don't want to see that kind of stuff anyway.
No. No one wants that.
Yeah. So it's also quite a feat to throw something so personal, such as a health journey, onto a public stage. What really prompted you to actually decide to talk about this in your set?
Well, I kind of just had nothing else to talk about. Like, as a comedian, you just talk about what you're going through and your life experience. And it just so happened that my life experience was you know, doing chemotherapy and dealing with a cancer diagnosis. So, you know, I had to talk about that, you know. So that's kind of the reason why I spoke about it. I wish I didn't have to talk about it, which had some other stuff to discuss, but it's actually been quite nice talking about it on stage. Like, it really connects with people. It's, you know, sadly, it's a very relatable topic for a lot of people in the crowd.
Definitely.
So when you talk about it, I think it really resonates with people. And I think people respect the fact that, you know, I'm making light of it and trying to destigmatize the disease and also in particular testicular cancer. Because a lot of men, like, you know, they're kind of ashamed of their genitals and they don't want to talk about it if something kind of changes or goes wrong. So for me to talk about it on stage and just be very open and honest, I think kind of really helps destigmatize and just normalize those conversations.
For sure, breaking down those barriers, you know.
That's my comedy, baby. I'm breaking down barriers. I'm making you think. I'm challenging. I'm edgy. Sorry, I just don't, like, I don't even know what to say now.
And I reckon you could pull off the jeggings. Doing it all in jeggings.
Oh, man. Maybe I'll do the show in jeggings. That would be really fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if I come out to one of your shows, you better be wearing jeggings.
I'll tell you what. If you come to the show, I will put on jeggings just for that show. And I think the front row will have a terrible, terrible time. That's what I think.
I appreciate it. We'll get you back on and, like, I'll take a video or something. Put it on our website.
Love it, love it.
So, yeah, amongst the jokes, are there any particular lessons or, like, you know, maybe some food for thought that you hope audiences could take away from your show?
Look, I mean, all I think that I want people to take away from my show is that everything is funny. And, like, or, like, at least everything can be funny, you know? So that's my most important message from the show. Like, I talk about everything. Like, my grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. I talk about that.
Wow.
My sister has Down syndrome. I talk about that. I've had cancer. Obviously, I'm not afraid to talk about that. My point is that every single thing can be funny. And if you don't think it's funny, then don't come to my show.
That's so fair. I think that when people come to it, because I'm quite into stand-up comedy, at least, like, you know, the Netflix specials. I got really into it during ISO. That's what I was doing with my time. So kudos to you for doing what you were doing. But yeah,
productive. We were both productive.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to say.
Look, maybe I'm trying to, like, get up my own act together. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes people come into the shows and then I don't understand when people get offended.
It's crazy to be offended by, like, words on the stage, particularly in the context of comedy where, like, the caveat is that none of this is real, none of this is to be taken seriously. But, like, people get offended. Look, I can understand. Like, I once did a joke about Malaysian Air. Like, it was a terrible joke. I did it years ago.
Oh, God.
I did this joke. And afterwards, this lady comes up to me and she goes, "That's such an offensive joke. I mean, what if someone from that missing plane was in the crowd?" And she goes, "What would you say to them?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'd probably say, like, where is it, to be quite honest?" Like, I mean, you know, people always get offended on behalf of other people. That's the most interesting thing. So people aren't offended because they themselves are offended. They're offended because 90% of the time they're offended because they think it's offensive to another group of people who themselves are totally fine with the joke.
That's very interesting.
What people get upset about. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Well, when can we come see you? What dates are you? Do you know the dates yet?
Yeah, so I just found out I'll be in Sydney on the 29th and the 30th of April at the Enmore Theatre. Not the big theatre, I mean, like, a little room across the side. So if you want to come along, I'd say maybe get in quick because there's not many tickets in there, surprisingly, actually already selling, which is great.
Awesome. That's so great. I'll definitely jump on that. I want to see you. It'll be so good.
Yeah, please do. I'll bring my jaggings. It's going to be great.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. Set off the really good tone for the rest of the show. So thank you so much, Michael. Fortunately, we've run out of some time. No worries.
Cheers. Have a great day.
You too. Good luck with the shows.
Thanks.
Thanks.